produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the living room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I'm your host, Juliet Davis, and I'm so glad that you decided to tune in this evening. We have got a great show for you. The last time we were together, I think I was talking about, Lord, change me while I'm in here. And that was just a message to encourage us all to be good stewards over the time that we have and to specifically seek God about what he would have for us to do in this season of sheltering in place. And even though things have started to open up around our respective communities, I just want to remind you to, you know, be safe and use wisdom as you go out and make sure, you know, that you're not only protecting yourself, but you're protecting those around you. So in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of learning probably for the first time about COVID-19, the coronavirus, and all that has come along with that, our nation, since this airs internationally, has also had to deal with quite a bit of social unrest. And it stemmed from an ongoing issue related to police brutality and racism. And specifically, a series of situations that targeted both African-American males and females, but particularly African-American males. And I believe that, you know, our community has, you know, reacted really as a nation, not just as African-Americans, but a multiracial response to the murder of George Floyd, which we all saw on national television. And that has caused people to really begin to wake up to something that has been going on for, gosh, hundreds of years. So my guest today is a young man who is a friend of mine, but he is also a co-laborer in the gospel. He is a father. And he's a young man who I believe has something to say that we should all want to hear. He's an African-American male who is a youth pastor. And I believe that you're going to, you know, really be blessed by what he has to share. So without any further ado, let me introduce to you and welcome to the living room, Shaq Taylor. Shaq, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Oh, you are so welcome. Listen, I just can't wait to start this conversation because I know that at the outset we're going to run out of time just because there's so much that we could share on this issue. But I really think it is important because a lot of times on an international scope, people don't have anyone that they can really hear from on an intimate level about how they're being impacted by this and how their life has changed. So let me start out by asking you, what's your perspective on what's going on around the country and really internationally, because there are protests all over the world, literally, related to this issue.
Yeah, first let me start by saying when I first saw the video, I actually didn't want to watch the video because I actually heard the video before I actually saw it. I think my wife was watching it, and I was still in bed. And then I ended up watching the video of George Floyd literally slowly dying second by second. And I just got filled with anger, and I got filled with frustration and just real rage and confusion. And, I thought about not just George Floyd, but then I thought about Ahmaud Arbery that we just found out about literally 2 weeks before that. And then I started thinking about Trayvon, and then I started thinking about Mike Brown, and then I started thinking about Amadou Diallo, and then I started to think about all of these human beings, all of these black brothers, and even sisters too. We have Breonna Taylor, who her murderers are still out there relaxing and drinking beer. And then we have just so many others that were killed by the people that are supposed to serve and protect. And so my perspective on this topic is very heavy and very, I believe, just personal, because not only have I seen it, not only are we seeing it, but I've been there. But as far as the protests go, I do think that the protests are important. And I was just a part of one, I think last week, and I think they're important. And like you said, we're seeing them all over the world. And my prayer is that something changes in light of all of this.
Wow. Well, I can tell you that, I've heard stories from people who've been saying that, when their husband leaves the house or when their son leaves their home, that they become very concerned, that the anxiety, literally the anxiety of their loved one leaving the house has created the kind of environment that they never thought that they would have in this country, in 2020 in this country. And so that's been a rude awakening. Let me ask you, have you ever personally been on the receiving end of racism or, racial profiling? And if so, what was that like?
Have I ever been on the receiving end? I think too many times to count, actually. Mm-hmm. But, specifically, I'll go to a time, since we're on the George Floyd topic, I'll go to a time where I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and so, me and a couple of friends of mine, we were playing basketball, and we had no idea that there was a curfew on the park. And so the curfew was about 9 p.m. on the park, and at about 9:02, a bunch of police officers, I think it was about four or five of them, told everybody to get on the wall, and they pretty much were aggressive with us, definitely used excessive force by pushing us against the wall, searched every one of us. Put us in cuffs, put us in a police wagon, brought us to the police station, and as we're walking into the police station, all of the police officers in the lobby, they're pretty much clapping, and I see one of the white police officers, he says, looks like we've got the whole hood tonight. And so that definitely did something to me, and it wasn't the first time that something like that I was profiled, but it was probably the first time that I felt so hurt and distraught and angry and literally almost depressed about it, because we were literally just some kids that were just trying to play basketball. So But yeah, that was one of the crazier moments that happened to me. But as far as profiling, I think that almost every black person in America, almost 90% of the black men that I know, have been in a store and have been followed in a store because someone thought that they were going to steal something. So there's just little things like that, and then big things like what I said before. So
right.
I've been through it, and it's, you know, too many times to count.
Right. Well, I was watching an interview over the weekend with black female mayors of large metropolitan cities on CNN, and they were sharing their own experiences. And I remember the account from the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, and she talked about how her husband was arrested or at least detained in a store because he had on a hoodie, and they suspected that he was shoplifting. And she just talked about, you know, what that was like. And so the reason I asked you that question is because I really believe that part of the change, and we're going to talk about change in a few moments, but part of the change really has to be that those who are in the majority have to really begin to identify with what it feels like and what kinds of things are at work and at play when you know, individuals are racially profiled or harassed or brutalized. Excessive force is being used by the police. And only until then it will become, an issue where they will feel the need to see change occur.
Yeah.
I heard a former police chief, Ramsey, he was the police chief of D.C. as well as Philadelphia. And he shared something that I thought was very profound. He said that change will not occur until the good police, those who are abiding by the rules, who care about their community and who are not using excessive force or operating from a racist perspective, until those individuals really begin to speak up, there will not be real cultural change, and that it is not enough just to say that we will train our way out of this, that there will be, you know, sensitivity training or bias training or whatever training you want to, you know, interject here, but that there has to be a cultural change. And so
absolutely,
I wanted people to hear, you know, what it feels like. And then my next question really is, on the heels of having had that experience, and as you said, too many other experiences to count, what happens when a police pulls up behind you and you are, you know, in your neighborhood even, and you know, you're on the road just like everybody else, and a police car pulls behind you? What kind of thoughts go through your mind in that moment?
Oh, I automatically think it's over. Like, my heart drops. My palms get sweaty. I start getting nervous. Anxiety starts going through the roof. Like, I start thinking it's over. And I think, you know, going back to what you said, you know, training, yes, they need to be retrained. Police officers need to be retrained. But you can't train the heart. So it's one of these things where people have to see people as human beings. Now, we got to know where we are as not just a country but as a society in time. Like, we are only 53 years or 50-something years removed from the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, like only 50-plus years removed.
Right.
And so while people want to say, well, racism is over, it's over, it's over, it's over, no, it's not over. This just happened 50-something years ago. Martin Luther King was still fighting for equality. Had he still been alive, he would have still been fighting the next 10, 20, 30 years for equality and for black people to have the opportunity to prosper in this country. And so I think that we must first understand where we are. Like, our white brothers and sisters have to understand, like, this is where we are. We are only literally 50 to 60 years removed from the civil rights movement. And so I think that once we start to really tap into common sense and tap into real history and not just think that, you know, because time has passed that everything is over, and we really, really start looking into the lives of black people and start looking at the statistics and start looking at the experiences and the encounters with police, and start reading some of those stories and listening to some of those stories, I think that we'll all agree that this country is one-sided. And I don't, you know, a lot of people say the system is broken and needs to be fixed. Well, I disagree. I think that the system is working just the way they want it to work.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's an interesting perspective, because how do you make that right? You know, I wanted to share that while we are talking about the instances that came from law enforcement and their excessive force with both males and females, I know that what that has done is it's pulled the covers back on systemic racism. And so when we start to deal with unconscious bias, that you have mindsets and you have concepts about African Americans that you don't even know exist, that came from your upbringing or whatever, you know, exposure you had in the environment that you grew up in, and at this point you're not even aware that you have a bias, right? So we're talking about wholesale, you know, change. We're not just talking about with the law enforcement community, although that is huge and certainly needs to be addressed. So then you say, okay, well, you can't train the heart.
Yeah.
So then what we have to do is begin to deal with this on every level and a multifaceted approach, because one of the things that I get concerned about is that as I have observed the protests, and I know that they have their place and they are getting attention and they're making their voices heard, and I wholeheartedly applaud that. But what I recall from my knowledge of the civil rights movement is that they had strategies on several levels. And so there wasn't just the sit-ins, but there was also the boycotts. And it wasn't just the boycotts, but there were also cases that were being tried in court where they were using those cases as an opportunity to push forward, you know, legislation that would break down the walls of systemic racism. And so I say that to say that I think one of the things, as we've gotten into this discussion about change, is that there has to be a strategy. And I believe it was the rapper Killer Mike that said, you know, we've got to strategize, we've got to plot, we've got to plan. And I'm paraphrasing, but essentially that's what has to be done at this point, because you really can't just approach it from one vantage point. We've talked about voting and making sure that there is equal opportunity to, you know, exercise our rights as citizens.
Yeah.
And that is under attack, severe attack.
Absolutely.
And so there's so many things that we can be doing and so many things that we have to be about doing, and we can't just put all of our emphasis in one area.
I think everyone has their part to play. So I think you have people that will protest. You have people that will start creating strategies, and people that will actually have influence as far as politics is concerned. You know, Dave Chappelle said something very powerful the other day. He said, "You young people out there on the front lines are excellent drivers, and I'm comfortable in the back seat of the car." And it blew my mind, because in him talking about it, he talked about the fact that him as an older gentleman, he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's trying to do things that impact what's going on as far as his sphere of influence is concerned. And I appreciate that, because he's playing his part where he knows how to play his part. And there are younger people, and, you know, that will be out there protesting and fighting for rights and, you know what I mean, creating petitions and stuff like that. And I think that that's important as well. And then you have the Killer Mikes and TIs of the world that are literally creating business plans and business infrastructure that will help black people not only prosper in this country, but own stuff in this country. And so I think it's very important for everybody to know, what part do I play in this? Like, not
yes,
everybody's going to
yes.
be out there protesting. Everybody's not going to go out there on the front line. Some people still got to go to work during this crazy time. So I think that everyone is important. I think that it's important for educators to educate. I think it's important for us to get people to educate Black people on what it means to not only know what's going on in the world, but vote according to what's going on in the world in your local elections. It's important for you to do your census. It's important for you to know what's going on and educate yourself. So I think that everybody is necessary in this, and I don't think that everybody should just be confined to protesting.
Right, and I agree, but I also hear what you're saying in that every joint supplies. That's the way the world refers to it, that everybody has something that they can add to make a difference. And so the thing that I would love for our listeners to hear is the point that you made about asking, what can you do? What would be your role? And as I have admonished the people that I have partnered with in ministry, to be sure that you ask God, even, what is it that I have been given? What gifts have you given me that I can now use to help undo and to help inform and help educate and reform, what has been done for hundreds of years? And so that, to me, is important. If you're listening, I just want you to know you have tuned into The Living Room, and I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and I'm talking with Shaq Taylor, who is a native New Yorker, a father, a husband, and a man of God, and I'm talking about the current state of affairs as it relates to social justice. And so to continue our discussion, one of the things that I wanted our listeners to know is that you have a beautiful family. you have a household full of girls. And they are absolutely adorable. And so
thank you.
I wanted our listeners to hear a little bit about your family, and specifically, as they get older, and I know they're all very young now, but as they get older, and even now, I suppose you can begin on their level. But as they get older, what kind of conversations do you envision having with them that will help prepare them for the world that awaits them?
Well, for me, having all girls, five of them to be exact, and just knowing where we are as a country, knowing where we've been, and knowing the type of people that we have to deal with every day, I think it's important for every, and I would say this, I think it's important for every father, because I think that a lot of times in parenting our children, we leave a lot of things up to the mother to do, and I know that people are not going to like me saying that, but that's okay. I think we leave a lot of things up to moms to do, and I think it's very important for fathers to not only provide, but to cultivate a loving environment for their children. I think for me, the biggest thing that I could give my girls is affirmation, affirming them, affirming who they are, affirming that they're beautiful, affirming that though their hair is different from the white girl across the table, that her hair is still beautiful, affirming that her skin is beautiful, affirming that that she's smart, that she's chosen by God, that she's loved. And, while we focus so heavily on the information, I think we need to also put some emphasis on the affirmation that our kids need. And so I feel like that's my job.
Wow. So I have heard parents of kids, both male and female, say that they have had to have the talk. And it's funny how times have changed, because the talk used to be code for talking about sex, but now the talk is about, what do you do when the police pull you over, and how you are to govern yourself in public as it relates to your interaction with law enforcement. That in and of itself is a sad commentary, but yet very real. And so I know that you, you know, as a youth pastor, have interaction with a variety of young adults. What
yeah.
kinds of conversations are you having with them?
So my conversations with them as far as everything going on right now is more so just being there to listen. I've learned that with young people, you have to do more listening than talking. And so I have done more listening and allowing them to vent and allowing them to release how they feel on me. And I'm very careful about what I say, especially in a time like this. I'm very careful about, you know, how do I tell a young man or a young woman how to conduct themselves as far as an altercation or a confrontation with a police officer is concerned. One of the things I will say is that I don't know everything, and so it is very hard for me to – I've tried so many times to think of ways and to even write down a list of things that you have to do in order to have a good situation as far as an encounter with a police officer. And then as all of these things start to happen, I realized that I was writing out how not to die, you know,
wow.
like how not to get killed by a
mm-hmm.
cop. And so then I stopped. I'm like, there's no way, there's nothing you can do to not get things to escalate. We've seen it before. We've seen the videos. We've seen the clips, whether it's on the news or on Facebook or on any social media platform. We've seen guys literally calmly speak to police officers. We've seen Eric Garner just say, listen, I just want to make some money right here where I'm at, right in front of this store, and he get pulled in and he get caught in a chokehold, and he's saying I can't breathe, and you know, he passes away. And so as I'm starting to think of how do we need to approach things correctly as far as law enforcement is concerned, I'm starting to believe there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do because it's just crazy. I'll continue to try to figure out ways that we can do to have better relationships with law enforcement, which I think law enforcement needs to be the one initiating these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that black people always got to be the bigger person. But I do think that, you know, respect is something that I always preach, respect, just listening to what the officer is saying. It's almost like a confusing situation because you can do everything right and still end up bad.
Yeah, right. Well, I want to also say how important it is that we know that not all law enforcement are exercising excessive force or coming from a place of, you know, racial dispositions. That I have encountered more police who are community-minded, who care about the people that they serve and who are looking to build relationships. By far, in my experience, I've encountered more of them than I have of the others. So I do want to say that because I think that it's important, you know, to share the other side of that story. But at the same time, because we see such a consistent and unfortunate pattern of racial oppression, really, just over the weekend, 48 hours ago, Rashard Brooks was shot in the back twice in Atlanta. And that, you know, was another instance where there were some other options. And so that's concerning to me, that I think that we have to have conversations with, you know, our family, not just the youth, but our family about, you know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? You know, how is that impacting you? Because there's also a mental health component of this and
right.
a spiritual health component of this. That we have to deal with, because people are processing this information and the images that they're seeing on television and the nightly recounts of protests that are, you know, turning into other things. And so you really have to have an ongoing dialogue with your family at this point. And so that's one of the things that I want to leave our listeners with is open up and communicate. Don't assume that everybody is okay, because it could be that that's just, you know, a powder keg waiting to blow because they've had no opportunity to share and to open up and talk about the things that are really bothering them about what's going on in our world today.
Right. Right. And I think that Rashad Brooks story is a sad story, and it hits for me, and like you said, having the conversation is necessary, but it's hard, and it's sometimes, to be honest, it's even hard to believe that there are more good law enforcement personnel than there are bad ones, because just your experiences help you determine that. But as far as Rashad Brooks is concerned, like, that's a 27-year-old man with four kids. That's me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm him. So when you watch that video, you can't help but to put yourself in his shoes and literally see yourself fade away. And so and one of the things you said was so important, because, you know, I think conversation is so important. Not only conversation with our family members, but conversation with people that want to learn, right? People that are not of color, that just want to be educated and want to know, how do you feel? Like, why is it that you feel this way? I'm not talking about the people that don't want to learn. There's nothing you can do to educate those folks. But the people that actually want to humble themselves and say, what can I do to help? I think it's very important. I think one of the first steps, actually, to real change is communication and loving and open dialogue that's honest, but also done at a place where people can get the information and people can get educated on it so that they can help fight it.
Right. Right, right, and that is indeed an important first step. Listen, I am going to have to end it here, but here's what I'd like to know. Would you be willing to come back for a part two? Because the more we talk, there are so many other things that I think would be good to bring out. And
of course.
Okay, great. Well, then here's what we'll do. We'll pick up this conversation right where we left it today. Hey, if you have been listening to this conversation with Shaq Taylor, who I am so grateful agreed to be on the show today, you're tuned in to a great time of discussion. Then this is really an example of the kind of conversations that we really need to have on several levels in our community. And we're going to talk more about that next time we get together. Thanks so much for joining me today in the living room. It's been my pleasure to be with you. If you need to reach me, you can always do so on social media. You can find me at Juliet Davis on Facebook and True_Journey on IG. Or you can email me at destinyempower@gmail.com. Shaq, tell us how we can reach you if we want to follow up with you.
First, I want to say thank you. Thank you for having me again. It was awesome. Every time we get into conversation, it always goes longer than it's supposed to go anyway. But everyone can follow me at on Instagram, king.taylor, or Shaq Taylor on all other platforms.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know how we always end every show, because it's always true. The Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever. Thanks so much. See you next time.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Bonjour, thanks. How y'all doing this evening? Thank you so much for tuning in to Chatting Chocolate with Keita Keet. Real quick, I will be filling in for my cousin Keita Keet this evening. For those of y'all who don't know me, my name is Yanaka Dora Jones, a.k.a. Knock Knock, a.k.a. Big Y, Little A, Big K, Don't Play, okay? And I bring you greetings from Staying in My Lane Ministry, where all are welcome, but very few join. You'll get that in a minute. And my bishop is, don't start and it won't be none, okay? So I just want to give honor to God who's ahead of my life, to all of the saints, all of the aints, all of the shoulders, the wooders, the coulders. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening as I fill in for my cousin. Okay, and for those of you who would like to hit my cousin up anytime just to say, hey, Keita Keet, how you doing? I like what you're doing. Or if you even got any prayer requests, please by all means do so, okay? And you can hit her up either on her Facebook or Instagram, and that is under Keita Keet, and that is K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T. And you can also hit her up in her email, and that is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com, okay? Amen. But again, thank y'all so much for tuning in this evening to hear your girl Knock Knock. I just want to talk to you just for a little while, and I ain't going to hold y'all longer than that because I know it's Friday night and y'all got things to do. You're trying to be with your family. You're trying to eat. You're trying to watch some TV and whatnot. But I just want to just talk to my family for a little bit, okay? Because to me, all y'all my cousins, okay? So I just want to talk to all of my cousins this evening. I just want to just talk to you about this quarantine and what 2020 has definitely shown us so far, okay? Because for real, though, I ain't even going to lie. I don't feel that 2020 needs to be canceled at all because God is still doing some awesome things in 2020. But I will just say, though, I think the year 2020 at least needs to go to the eye doctor, okay? I think the year 2020's vision is blurred. I know 2020 means perfect vision, but at this point, I think 2020 needs LASIK, okay? Because it's just a little bit off, okay? At 2020 is definitely revealing and showing a lot of things. Y'all understand what I'm saying, okay? So, but no, it doesn't need to be canceled. But it definitely needs LASIK, okay? But anyway, during this time, you know, we are dealing with a lot of things that's going on right now. Many of us are still under quarantine. Yes, we are. Many of us have been under quarantine for months. And I just want to go on record to say that even though Knock Knock has been under quarantine, the Lord has definitely been showing a lot of things to Yanaka Dora, okay? The Lord has definitely been showing a lot of things to me. And I just want to know out there to my listeners, you know, all those who are listening, what has God shown you? I just want to pose that question, okay? What has God shown you during this quarantine, okay? You know, for some of us, he's shown us that maybe we need to rest during this quarantine, okay? 2019, many of us was running, being productive. But this may have been a time for us to rest, okay? For some of us, it may be a time to run. And that don't mean to run and go back outside, because the truth of the matter is, outside ain't really all the way open yet. You understand what I'm saying? Huh. I ain't even gonna lie. Knock Knock waiting for the dove to come back with the olive branch. Y'all remember the story of Noah? Noah and his fam didn't move until that dove came back. And he ain't come back with no mulberry bush. He ain't come back with just no regular stick, no juniper berry. He came back with a whole olive branch. So, for real, Knock Knock waiting for the olive branch, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, for some of us, the Lord said, you know, this is the time to get settled. This is the time to write that book. This is the time to work on that business. You know, but whatever the Lord was showing you or has been showing and will continue to show you during this time, during this quarantine, what has the Lord showed you to do, okay? But I'm going to go on record to tell y'all, since y'all my family tonight, okay, that the Lord has definitely showed me some things during this quarantine, okay? Not been working on some things, okay? First of all, for those of y'all who don't know me, I love the Lord. Yanakadora Jones, love the Lord, okay? I ain't churched, but I love the Lord, though, okay? I may not have grown up in the church, but I have a relationship with the Lord, okay? I love the Lord. Okay? And I just want to go on record to tell y'all that the Lord speaks to Yanakadora, okay? For real, though. So one of the things that the Lord has shown, Knock Knock, is that I am an author, okay? I am an authorista, okay? That's the female version of author, okay? Amen? Glory to God. So the Lord has shown me during this quarantine a whole series, if you will, okay? And this is a series, a quarantine series, okay, that the Lord has laid on my heart, okay? Because it's important to write the vision and make it plain, okay? His word says, write the vision and make it plain, okay? So the Lord has laid on my heart to write these books, not just to help me, but to help me help y'all. Amen? Amen, saints. Glory to God. Okay, so this first book that I want to share that the Lord has showed me to write, okay, during this quarantine, it is called Getting Lean in this Quarantine, okay? This book is a part of the Getting Lean in the Quarantine series, okay? How many of us have been, you know, battling the bulge, you know, for quite a while? Yeah. Many of us, you know, with the gyms being shut down, can't really work out like you want to and all that stuff. I mean, you can go walking, you can go running and whatnot. You know, you try to get your exercise in. You know, you play your exercise tapes and on videos and all of that stuff. But for some of us like me, it has kind of been a challenge. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I know for a fact it's been a challenge for me. But the Lord laid on my heart to write some books, okay, to not just help me but to help you. Okay, and I wrote two, okay? I have two books for the Getting Lean in the Quarantine series. The first book is entitled, You Are Just Two Chins Away from a 600-Pound Life, How to Close That Refrigerator Door and Open Your Heart to God. Amen. Some of us need to shut that cabinet, shut that refrigerator door, and open up our heart to God, okay? God wants more of you. Well, actually, he wants more of your heart, okay? It's enough of you. But God wants your heart. Glory to God. So that book was specifically for me, okay? There was another book that I have for this series too, okay? And that book is entitled, My Back Fat is a Setup for a Comeback. Woo-hoo! Yes! Hallelujah. When you are a size 6 in the spirit, but you're waiting on the natural manifestation, glory to God. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I know I'm already a size 6 in the spirit. Amen. I'm just waiting for the natural manifestation, okay? The Bible says that we will have what we say. Amen. All right? And speak those things that be not as though they were. Okay, so I already know that I'm a size 6 in the spirit. I just need that one in front of the 6 to move. Amen, glory to God. But I know it's coming. Hallelujah. My back fat is a setup for a comeback. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so the next book that I have for this quarantine series is entitled Saving Green in the Quarantine. Okay, this book is a part of the Saving Green in the Quarantine series. Okay, and this book is entitled my toenails shredding my sheets, but it didn't hinder my sleep. How to find rest in the arms of God. Oh, I'm sorry. No. This is for the good hygiene in the quarantine. Yes, this is the good hygiene in the quarantine series. Okay, my toenails shredded my sheets, but it didn't hinder my sleep. How to find rest in the arms of God when your pedicure is overdue. Okay, that is from the good hygiene in the quarantine series. My mistake. Okay, now, we have been quarantined for so long that the nail salons and hair salons and things can finally open up, okay? And for many of us, it has been a challenge in that area, okay? I'll speak for me. I can't speak for nobody else, but I'll speak for Yanakadora, okay? I will speak for Knock Knock. Unfortunately, sometimes the heels will get stuck to my sheets. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Because I hadn't had no pedicure. But this book reassures me. My toenail shredded my sheets, but it didn't hinder my sleep. How to find rest in the arms of God when your pedicure is overdue. I could still find rest in the arms of God, even with my heels dusty. Glory to God. Even when they was dry than the Sahara Desert, I know that I am still resting in the arms of God. Hallelujah. And again, that is from the good hygiene in the quarantine series, okay? Now, this next book is part of the Saving Green in the Quarantine series, okay? Saving Green in the Quarantine series, all right? Amen. Glory to God. This book is entitled, My Heels Are Dry, I Have Naps on the Back of My Neck, but the devil ain't getting my stimulus check. How to Save Your Coins While Rebuking the Devourer at the Same Time. Glory to God. My heels are dry, I have naps on the back of my neck, ooh, but the devil ain't getting my stimulus check. How to Save Your Coins While Rebuking the Devourer at the Same Time. You know, you read in Malachi 3:8, it talks about bringing ye all the tithes into the storehouse so it can be meat in my house. And God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. But then he also says, and I will rebuke the devourer. Glory to God. Sometimes all we need is that devourer rebuked. Amen. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God, for the blessings, because we definitely want the blessings. But sometimes, all we need is that devour rebuke. Don't touch nothing that I already got. Amen. Amen. So I wrote this book to stand on the word of God that the devil ain't getting my stimulus check. Hallelujah. Don't touch that nothing of mine that the Lord done blessed me with to manage, because everything belongs to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So that is these books that the Lord had laid on my heart to write during this quarantine. They are not for sale as of yet, but these are near and dear to my heart. The ones I have, they is for display purposes only. Okay. For display purposes only, but glory to God. But I know that they will be a blessing to you as much as it was a blessing to me. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead on and wrap things up. I just want to thank y'all so much for tuning in and listening this evening. And again, if you want to, I'll hit my cousin up. You can. And that is KETTAKEET on her Facebook and Instagram. And also Love to Make You Laugh at yahoo.com is her email address. I just want to say thank you so much for sitting here and chatting with your girl, Yanakadora Jones, a.k.a. Knock Knock, a.k.a. Big Y, Little A, Big K, Don't Play. All right? Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a blessed evening and enjoy yourself, okay? And listen, I don't care what you call me as long as you call me for dinner. Good night, Saint.